Thanks very much, Matt. It's really good to see you. As people said, my name's Chris, if you don't know me, one of the elders here. And it's good, isn't it, to just to come together and to worship wherever we come from, whatever week type of week we've had, and we can come as part of God's family together. And that's really important. I don't know about you, but I've been watching with some interest the news over the last few days. And have you heard about this comet Ison? Comet Ison, a few people have, nodding their heads. 4.6 billion years old. That's old, isn't it? When you start thinking about numbers like that, it kind of blows your mind. This comet is travelling at 200 miles per second. 200 miles per second. That's fast. Not only is it old, but it's fast. And people have been studying this comet. It's come out of some far-off place. And they've been tracking it for about a year, trying to see what's going to happen. They're trying to work out what's going to happen, and they think it was coming near the sun. But they didn't really know what was happening. But actually, they reckon that this comet Ison, it passed within 730,000 miles of the sun, which is really quite close in global sort of universe terms, close to the sun's 6,000 degrees surface on Thursday night. And they thought it would be heated up to about 3,000 degrees C, which is hot, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very old, it's going very fast, and now it's very, very hot. In fact, one astronomer from the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, and I love this quote, he said that there's never been a better time to use the words a snowball's chance in hell. Because the comet is made of ice, right? So it's ice and matter, and it's come really, really close to the sun. So it's got a snowball's chance in hell of surviving. But they were trying to predict whether or not it would, and they were all getting very excited about it, and it kind of disappeared on Thursday night. But then some people have seen something coming out the other side of the sun, and they're not quite sure whether the comet's still intact, whether the nucleus, some of this matter, this 2 kilometres wide nucleus of the comet is there or not. The same guy said, I think it's been a very bad day for the comet. But I think because the comet started to brighten again after passing the sun, there's a fairly good sign that the nucleus is replenishing the tail, the sort of atmosphere that's come behind it. And if that's the case, then in December, it's going to be a magnificent sight, apparently. But they don't know. They've got all this instrumentation, they've got all this, they've been tracking it for over a year, day by day, they got really excited about it, but they don't know what's going to happen. And they're still waiting to see, they're taking photographs and waiting to see. Those sort of things, massive, amazing, outside of our experience, and we don't know what's going to happen. And I think as we come to this kind of Advent series, it's something that's happened. We start to prepare for Christmas. Something that has happened that is absolutely amazing. It's about God breaking into our world with Jesus, the Son of God. And that is absolutely amazing. And what we've said that we would do in this Advent series is focus on some of the characters of Christmas coming up to it. And I want to talk a little bit about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Sometimes we read about those, often at Christmas. They were the ones that had a son, John the Baptist, who came to point the way to Jesus. I'm going to sort of read that story and then try and draw out a few things that we can learn from their experience, particularly on prayer. And this builds on some of the series that we've been doing on prayer as part of John's Gospel. So if you've got a Bible, let's turn to the book of Luke. I'm going to read from chapter 1 and verse 5. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. says this: in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. And many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can this be? How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." Dangerous thing to say, that, isn't it? The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." And if you just turn over verse 57, comes to towards the kind of end of the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. So verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have a baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. Remember, he still can't speak. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. And the neighbours were all filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." And then if you want to read at home, goes on Zechariah's song of praise about what has happened to him. So, fantastic story, isn't it, of a couple serving the Lord, really in a situation of sadness for themselves because they're unable to have children, and God actually answering their prayer and finding great praise and joy in their hearts as God answered this prayer. But as we look at this, there's some things that we can learn from it about our own prayer life and moving forward as we prepare for Christmas. Some of this stuff that I'm going to share comes, like, it's based on the Bible, obviously, but also on some thoughts by a pastor called Rick Warren over in the States, who's an amazing teacher. And he set out a series on prayer, and it can pick up some of this, because he says, how do we get our prayers answered? And there's four attitudes that he puts across for us to be in prayer, looking for our prayers to be answered. And the first thing that he says is, look for God to answer it in his own time. Look for God to answer your prayers in his own time. Here was Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke goes out of his way to tell us about them, what they were like. You know, Zechariah was a priest, and his wife actually was descendant of Aaron, who was also part of the priesthood. So, you know, she was also sort of part of a holy family, if you like. And it goes on to say that they were, at verse 6, both of them were absolutely upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So you get the kind of picture. Here they were serving God. They were from, born into those kind of family, and they were serving God, and they were blameless in the sight of God, observing all his commandments and regulations. They were praying day after day, serving God. Amazing, lovely couple, God-fearing, God-serving. But Luke says here, verse 7, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And in those days, that was like a real disgrace. You know, the children were a sign of great blessing, and it was a real disgrace. People would say, you know, you can't be doing things right. You can't be serving God right. Well, you must be sinful to actually have this happen to you, not to have children. But Luke here is saying that wasn't the case with them. And you can imagine, can't you, that this couple would be praying daily to get a child, to have a child, to rejoice. And you can, as we read that story, we can see, you know, when Elizabeth rejoiced, she said, the Lord has taken away my disgrace. The Lord has taken away my disgrace. It took God's own time for this prayer, their prayer, to be answered. We can tell that, can't we? Because, you know, it says they were both well along in years. And when in fact, actually, the angel said to Zechariah, you know, you're going to have a child, he said, like, what? I can't believe that. How can that be right? We're really old now. We're past childbearing age. So for me, that really shows that they've been praying for a long time about this. And the first thing that the angel said to Zechariah was, you know, the Lord has heard your prayer. We can be sure that when we come and pray, God hears our prayers. But it might not be answered in our time. And we'll go on to see that it might not be answered in our way, but in God's way, in God's power, and in God's purpose. You see, this was the right time for this prayer to be answered. It was God's time. Because their son was going to be someone different, someone special. And it was part of God's purpose, preparing for the birth of his own son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Zechariah was a priest, it says. He was one of probably about 18,000 priests who were serving. And to go into that, it says he was chosen by lot to go into the temple and burn incense. That was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience from among all those priests that were serving. They served a couple of weeks a year, and then they were chosen by lot to go in. It seems like for him a coincidence, but actually this was part of God's timing and purpose. And sometimes we look at things, we look back on our lives at things which seem like a coincidence, but actually it's God's hand upon our lives, moving and doing stuff in answer to our prayers. Probably shared this with you before, but I remember when we were praying about coming up to the beacon here, going and visiting with the worship group. I see Lenny's here, she came with me. We went to a building over there somewhere. Don't know if anyone else was here. Don't know if you came, Jeff, with us. Did you come? And you know, we went into that building and they were building it, and we came up. It was our worship group night. Were you with us, Hannah, then? No. And we looked around, and it happened to be open, this building. Shouldn't have been open, but we came up one Tuesday evening as part of our worship group practice. It was something that we were looking at, buying that building as a church. And we went into it, and I thought, wow, this is an amazing building. This must be the right building for us. And we went upstairs, and it kind of looked out over amazing fields. And I don't know whether it's true in my memory, but like the sun was setting, I might have built it up a bit here. But it just seemed like an amazing place. And I could just picture us as a church worshipping in this place on the first floor, looking out over these fields, and thought, God is really here. This must be the place for us. And then it got sold to somebody else. And I thought, what's going on? How can that be? But yet, years later, we're here in this place, and it's a much better place for us. You know, that was there was all sorts of problems with getting the number of people that we've got in the church here up onto the first floor. It was only like a sort of not a particularly strong ceiling. If you'd all have been up and down, bouncing up and down, praising God like we were this morning, you know, we could well have gone through that ceiling. It probably wasn't the best place for us, but I thought it was. And I was really gutted when it got sold. But God had a way of answering our prayers in a different way. And this was the same for these guys. In his own time, God will answer our prayers. Their job was to keep being faithful, even though their prayers weren't answered. And we can see that's true because it says that they served God blamelessly. And yet they must have felt in such disgrace and sadness because they didn't see their prayers being answered. But God answered them in his own time. And God answered them in his own way. In a way which was absolutely more amazing than they could ever have thought about. You know, probably what they wanted was just an ordinary child, just like anybody else. That's what they were hoping for. But God had something even more amazing for them. There's a story of people who were having there was this sweet shop and people came in to be served in this sweet shop, and there was a number of people serving them, and they were scooping the sweets. It was an old-fashioned sweet shop. They were scooping the sweets into it. And the owner of the sweet shop noticed that one of the ladies was always busy serving her sweets, whereas sometimes the others weren't. And he went up to her and said, why is it that you're always busy serving your sweets? And she said, well, it's absolutely easy. She said, some of the others, when they fill up their cones of these sweets, is that they fill them up too much and then they have to scoop stuff out to get to the right thing. I always fill them up not quite as much to the top and then scoop in some more at the end. And people like always come to me. And I think that's a little bit like God. God is more than that. He doesn't scoop them up just to what we want. He scoops up more into us when we pray. He's got a bigger picture for us, something more for us. God wanted to give them someone special, a unique son for a unique purpose. See, it says here, doesn't it? John the Baptist was to be amazing. John the Baptist was to be a prophet. It talks all about what he was going to be like. More than that, this was the cousin of Jesus himself. And John would have a unique role of pointing everyone to Jesus. God delayed the answer to their prayer because he had a much better answer in mind. Often we're content to settle for less. But God wants us to have the very very best. And we're called to keep praying, to keep serving, even when it appears that God doesn't answer. Arnold Palmer was a really famous golfer of his day. And, you know, he was like the kind of Tiger Woods of his time. And he back in the early 80s, he played a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. And the king of Saudi Arabia was really impressed by what he'd done and went to these exhibition matches. And he said to Arnold Palmer, he said, "I want to give you a gift." And Palmer said to him, "Look, that's really isn't necessary. You don't need to give me a gift. It's actually an honour and privilege to come and play in your country." And the king said to him, "No." He said, "You know, it would deeply upset me if you'd not allow me to give you a gift. What can I give you?" So Palmer thought about it for a moment. He said, "Look, okay, it would be really lovely, a great memento, if you could give me a golf club. And that would remind me of your beautiful country." The very next day, Palmer's in his hotel, and a special delivery comes, and it's a letter. And in this letter is the title to a golf club with thousands of acres and trees and lakes and a clubhouse and everything. And it was delivered to Palmer's hotel, a gift from the king. So much more than he could ever think or ask or imagine. And the lesson for us is this, isn't it? In the presence of the king, don't ask. You know, ask for something. Believe what God can give you. Ephesians 2:20, God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. His power at work within us. So God will answer our prayers if our attitude is that God will answer them in his time, in his own way, not what we think, not what we want, but in his way and in his own power. It's very easy, isn't it, to kind of take things into your own hands. You're praying for something, it's not quite working out, and you try and sort it out yourself. Have you ever done that? I've done that. It reminds me of Abraham and Sarah, the same sort of situation. God's promised them a son that's going to be the father of the nations. He's going to be the father of the nations. And they try and sort it out, don't they? Sarah's barren, so Abraham sleeps with a maidservant, Hagar, and it gets into all sorts of problems. They try and sort it out themselves. But God will do it for us in his way, in his time, through his own power. We need to wait for God's solutions, even if that requires a miracle. And that's what happened for Elizabeth and Zechariah. We've been going through the book of John, haven't we? And one of the stories that we heard in the book of John was about Lazarus. When Lazarus died, and Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. He was called, he got a message from Mary and Martha, his real dear friends, who must have been grieving and praying and wondering why Jesus wouldn't come. But Jesus allowed Lazarus to die in order to show everyone that he had the power over death. And he does. If your prayers have not been answered, don't give up. Don't give up. And more importantly, don't try and solve it yourself. Just try, and just trust in God and wait on him. God wants you to reveal his power through your situation to you and to others. I was most struck by those verses at the end of the passage that we read. It says this on verse 65, when all this had happened, the neighbours were all filled with awe. The neighbours. And that's what God has in mind for us, the people that we interact with. When he answers your prayer, when he comes in power to do something which is incredible, when he works with you, when you give your life to him, when he sees you and works in your life, your neighbours, the people that you work with, your family, the people who are closest to you, will see that God is working and will be in awe. So, our attitude should be, in God's time, in God's way, in God's power, and for his own purpose. And what a purpose this was, wasn't it? What a purpose this was. The purpose was come for John to be born. Do you know the name of what the name of John is in the Hebrew? The Hebrew for John means God. Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh is gracious. And actually, Zechariah's got a name as well. Zechariah's name means God remembers. And I guess if you don't take anything else away from what I say, you remember those things in your life now. God is gracious, and God remembers. God remembers you, and God is gracious, because this couple was used to give birth to John, who was actually fundamental in preparing the way for Christ, a much bigger purpose than they could ever even think or imagine, as we said before. God's purpose for them was to have an absolute place in history. Now that seems like probably a massive big thing that you say, that can't possibly happen to me. But whatever it is you're praying, maybe you're struggling with something in your life, you can't see God coming through in it, or maybe you're just starting to think about Christmas and you're thinking, how can I share with my family, with my friends, what the real meaning of Christmas is? God can use you. Just keep that praying. Keep that heart that these couple had in terms of service. Serving God faithfully, even as they couldn't see God answering their prayers. And he'll come through for you in the most amazing way and use you and your circumstances, whatever they are, to bless others. Your neighbours will look in awe and see what God has done through you. So if you're struggling this morning, if whatever situation you're in, just as we come a bit later to the communion table, just meet with God. There's loads more that you could say about this passage, but I'm going to leave it there. Just meet with God. Zechariah met with Gabriel, the angel of God, and it changed his life in a way that was absolutely amazing. As we come, we too can have that touch from the Lord as we prepare our own selves for the Christmas and the celebration of Jesus. Let's meet with God. So let's just pause there for a moment. Just spend just a moment. I'm going to be quiet and not speak anymore. Just spend a moment asking God to meet with you. Raise up any situations that you're concerned with, frustrated with. Or just praise him for who he is. Whatever it is, I'm going to be quiet now. Just commune with God. Lord, I thank you that you, your desire, your heart is to meet with each one of us here this morning. Lord, whether we're Christians or not, whether we're on that journey of faith, whether we're struggling with that faith, or whether we're rejoicing in you, Lord, you want to meet with us this morning. And Lord, you want to bring us a peace. And you want to change our lives for the better. You want us to be part of your kingdom, to have a purpose and a place. Thank you, Lord, that you value each one of us. And my prayer is for the people here and for myself that we will be like Zechariah and Elizabeth, that we would serve you faithfully in whatever life throws at us. And Lord, we will know in the fullness in your time, your love and your grace shown in our lives to bless others and bring others into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.